Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I would offer you to stay for Club 610, but I know you got a game to call tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe post-game. If Club 610 is still bumping, I'll come by post game. I don't know that I want to touch whatever Dusty's rocking with there, but it does sound like a good time.
Yeah, we have never done a late night Club 610. You know, that might be reserved for the next Vegas trip, or we want to do a lake day, a Cody and Gold at the lake. We want to do our show from the lake where just all day is Club 610 and we just have different people stop by. That is in the works, maybe next summer.
Sounds like a great excuse to spend some time by the lake.
Oh, right. Right. I mean, it's a tough life. Sometimes you got to go to the lake. Sometimes you got to go to Vegas. Like, we're actually going to be in Vegas next month doing some shows out there. So yeah, you know, it could be worse. How about you though? All-star break. It's gotta be a nice little break for you.
Yeah. It's a good chance to kind of hit the reset button a little bit. And the Royals finished off the, I'll say, quote unquote, first half, you know, 97 games. Like, we got 65 left. It's not the first half anymore. That's just the way we talk about it. But the Royals finished up at Fenway, which was a good coincidence for me and my wife. Her family's from the Boston area, and so we spent some time out on Cape Cod, got some beach and some sun for a couple of days, visited some people, and came back Wednesday night, and then recharged a lot yesterday, and now here we go, a 65-game sprint to the finish.
All-star game and the Derby. I know we've had a chance to talk about it. I'm just curious your perspective taking that in. Monday night was awesome. Obviously, I wish Bobby would have won, but what a show, what a showcase for Kansas City.
Man, it was so cool. I mean, just to see Bobby on that stage, and it's not just the power that was on display that, you know, we've seen up close and personal since he started his career, but letting everybody else nationally get a chance to see that because they might not have been paying enough attention, and now they certainly are, but also the joy, the genuine joy that he exuded the entire time. I mean, I think maybe my favorite part of the entire Derby was watching his giddiness walking up to Michael Buffer when he's announcing his name and saying his famous line
smile,
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like looking over his shoulder, looking at like Salvi and Cole and Seth and being like, can you guys see this? This is really happening. Like, that was so cool to see that, like, amidst all of the fame and splendor and pomp and circumstance, that he is still a 24-year-old kid going out and having an awesome time playing this game or hitting a bunch of home runs in his hometown stadium.
So people thought the buffer stuff was cheesy, but Drew and I were talking on, I guess it would have been on Tuesday. I enjoyed it. I thought that was cool. Smart of baseball to why not make it seem like a bigger deal? I get sometimes you can go over the top with it, but I thought that was cool. Maybe if it wasn't Bobby Witt involved, I wouldn't have liked it. I don't know.
That's where I landed on it. It's like Teoscar Hernandez's reaction was kind of like, what are we doing? Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And like, had Bobby not reacted the way he did, it might have been like, did we really need mm-hmm. this? But because Bobby reacted the way he did, I think that gave the whole idea a little bit more credibility. And ultimately, like, it's the moment that I remember from that, because I think it captured what Bobby's experience was. And then the All-Star game the next day, like, it was so cool seeing four Royals in that game, seeing Salvi catch both Cole and Seth, and Bobby make a great play on defense behind those guys, like we've seen a ton, but both those guys put up zeros, and you've got two first-time All-Stars in Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo who have had tremendous seasons. For Cole, it's kind of returning to the place where it all started for him. Like, what a full circle accomplishment. And for Seth, I mean, that's the ballpark that's about as close to his hometown as you can get, but also a guy who was the 1,032nd overall pick, and now 9 years into his career, he's an All-Star and a starter and all that, and they're throwing to a future Hall of Fame catcher in Salvador Perez. And I thought, thinking about what Salvi's perspective might have been during this, you know, he was the most senior All-Star at that game. Jose Altuve also had nine All-Star selections but didn't play. So Salvi was the elder statesman of the entire All-Star game, which is, I think, something that might have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit. But he was talking about his first All-Star game, like his memory was catching Mariano Rivera, who was in his last All-Star game at the time. And now Salvi's in his ninth and I don't think final All-Star game, to be clear. But he's catching Cole Reagans in his first of likely many. He's catching Seth Lugo in his first of hopefully a good amount now toward the back half of his career. He's teammates with Bobby for the first in a slew in his burgeoning superstar career. And I think that cohesion and seeing the four of them there together, I think that was a really cool thing.
Yeah, I know some people were disappointed that Seth Lugo didn't get the All-Star start, right? Because that's a great honor to get that. But I do think you got to give credit Bruce Bochy the way you laid it out, that they all got to be on the field at the same time. Some, you know, obviously Reagans and Lugo weren't, but they were all part of it together later in the game, because some fans were bummed that Lugo didn't get the nod. But I think the way they ended up playing together later in the game actually created a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, I'd agree. And also, I mean, objectively, statistically, Lugo's first 97 games, first 20 starts, outstanding, phenomenal. Statistically, Tarek Skubal was probably a little bit better. Corbin Burns was probably a little bit better statistically. And Corbin Burns has the pedigree, reigning Cy Young and all that, or multi-Cy Young and all that. And I also thought that part of the reason why Burns started, and this is maybe not true, this is maybe opinion, but I'm not sure if you read about the fact that he has a new set of twins that were born prematurely. And so he was only in Texas for like 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
He flew in, started the game, threw his inning, did post-game media, and then left and went back to Arizona to spend some time with his family. And so, you know, that allows him to be part of that experience and also do the things that he needs to do. And then you have Skubal come in. And then you have Seth Lugo come in and pitch to Salvi. And honestly, I thought one of the funniest parts about that, Steve Stewart did a great interview with Seth this past weekend after all the All-Stars were announced, and asked Seth, hey, would you like to start? And he kind of quipped and was like, well, I've certainly come out of the bullpen enough. I'd rather just start the game. He also said it'd be really cool to throw to Salvi. So you kind of balance mm-hmm. those two things, and having Seth throw to Salvi, I think that's a really perfect way for that game to really unfold.
We got Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster, joining us in studio. He's got the Bally polo on, so I mean, TV night for you, huh?
Yeah, I'm sort of playing for the other team tonight, but that's just the way the schedule worked out. I promise next time I come in, I'll wear the 610 Sports Perfect. Radio polo. I got to get one of those first.
But yeah, you and me both at times. but yes, we'll get you on. Maybe we got to make that happen. First half of the season, and then we can get into the second half. Just the first half pitching, right? I mean, was that the number one thing that stands out to you?
That's the number one, number two, and number three thing that stands out. I don't have the number top of mind because I'm going to go to the ballpark and do a lot of my prep as soon as we wrap up here. But I want to say it was 48 quality starts through the first 97 games for the Royals. So I'm going to say it was 48 quality starts through the first 97 games. Someone can fact check me on that. But the point that I'm making is that, well, you divide 97 by two, it's a little bit more than 48. But basically, you're getting a quality start every other game. That's six innings and maximum three earned runs allowed. That's minimum six innings, maximum three earned runs allowed. And that's what you're getting every other game. And to be clear, we've seen Brady Singer go out there and allow just one run, a major league best, 12 times this season. We've seen Seth Lugo put up 15 quality starts. Cole Reagans has 14 quality starts. Michael Wacha's had the fifth best ERA in the American League since the beginning of May. That's kind of flown under the radar.
Definitely.
Alec Marsh certainly has been up and down, but we've seen his dominance against the Yankees. Like, that's part of what the ceiling is for Alec Marsh. And the fact that that's the guy that is, quote unquote, your number five starter. I mean, the starting pitching is giving this team a chance to win day in and day out. And I say 48 quality starts in 97 games. Most of those quality starts, I feel anecdotally, are seven innings and two runs. Or six innings and one run. It's not just the bare minimum to check that box. I mean, these starters are going out there and giving this team a chance to win. The offense is supporting the pitching for the most part, and the bullpen, for the most part, has done the job it needs to do. And sure, there are going to be frustrations and qualms about a loss here and a loss there. And I go back to something that Matt Quatrero talks about. He talks a lot about the razor-thin margins in Major League Baseball between winning and losing. And I think we forget sometimes, and he often reminds us, the team in the other dugout is trying to win the game just as much as the team in our dugout. And when you look at those razor-thin margins between winning and losing, sometimes there are going to be games that you win that you're not supposed to win. Conversely, sometimes there are going to be some games that you lose that you are supposed to win. And so I look at the kind of statistics or how the first half, so to speak, broke down. I look at the starting pitching. That's one, two, and three. Number four, though, I would say, is the ratio of comeback wins to blown lead losses. I don't know that this is statistically true, but it's something that I've been keeping an eye on. Last year, the Royals had 20 comeback wins, 50 blown lead losses. 50 games last year, the Royals had a lead at some point during the game and did not win. That was the most in baseball. But the difference between those comeback wins and blown lead losses was 30, minus 30. So far this year, 25 comeback wins, among the most in baseball, 20 blown lead losses. Those blown lead losses, those comeback wins are going to happen. You stay on the positive side of that ratio, and this year, plus five, that's a huge difference. And you want to know why the Royals are on pace to win 87 games, which would be 31 more than last year? Well, you look at the difference between those two things. Last year, minus 30. This year, plus five. That's a 25-game difference, you know, extrapolated toward the end of the season. And, like, there's your gap right there.
Yeah, we're talking to Jake Eisenberg. That's good stuff. I was thinking, too, you mentioned 1, 2, and 3 being the rotation. I see if you agree with me on this. I think the second half, the bullpen's going to be even more important, though. I know as much as we've talked about some of the struggles at times, and it looks like at least heading into the All-Star break, you know, Chris Bubich, minimum outings, but some promise there from Bubich helping out the bullpen. I thought MacArthur's pitched better the last month or so. They go and get Hunter Harvey. We're going to all find out together to see if they can make some adjustments to have him be effective. I feel like with the innings limitations that might come into play with some of the guys in the rotation who are all pitching career high in innings or pacing for that, you might need that bullpen more than you even did in the first half of the season.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting part because, again, we have this mindset of thinking first half, second half, but again, it's 65 games, which is not even close to half. It's kind of like a third almost, a little bit more than a third. And so we're pretty far along into the season, which is why the starting pitchers are at the career highs in starts and innings pitched the way they are. And this has been asked of both Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo, and they both said that they're in constant communication with those starters, as they should be, about how they're feeling, what they need to do. And yeah, we might see down the stretch that they steal an inning here or there, depending on the game situation. We might see, and as we've seen, you know, in the beginning portion of the season, when there's an off day that comes up, instead of keeping everybody or moving everybody up, everybody gets an extra day. And those extra days, you know, kind of build upon each other. But, you know, a guy like Seth Lugo, he prepares to pitch a complete game every single time he takes them out. And that is no different for the other four guys in the staff. But Seth Lugo in particular has told me, yeah, I'm thinking that I'm going to throw at least 135 pitches for every start. That'd be 15 per inning for 9 innings. So he's ready to go the distance if called upon. And these guys are ready to go to the distance, not just for the regular season, but in the postseason, depending on what happens. As far as the bullpen is concerned, yeah, I think MacArthur's been great. The addition of Chris Bubich has been fantastic. He's looked awesome so far in the further appearances that he's made. And the Hunter Harvey addition, I think, is a really, really important one. I was taking a look at some of the Royals' bullpen numbers this morning, and the one that remains concerning is the low strikeout rate. In this day and age, a bullpen that gets strikeouts is one that is generally successful.
Right.
The Royals bullpen has the second lowest strikeout rate in baseball, only to the Rockies. And the walk rate is a little bit higher than you'd like for where the strikeout rate is. And you add a guy like Hunter Harvey, who's got 50 strikeouts and 12 walks in 45 innings with the Nationals. He's been great with inherited runners. He's been excellent in terms of holds. I don't know how much stock you want to put in holds, but when you've got the most of them, like, that doesn't say nothing. Right. But I think you add that kind of an arm to the back end of your bullpen, and you just spread out that leverage a little bit, and you spread out the pressure just a little bit. And so now the pressure is a little bit more off guys like John Schreiber or Angel Serpa or Chris Stratton or Will Smith, who are being used in the spaces that they should be used in. JJ said, it's a matchup bullpen, not a power bullpen. Well, Hunter Harvey adds some power, and I think that for a team to contend and then be successful in the postseason, you need some power at the back end of the bullpen.
Starting tonight, White Sox in town, 9-game homestand. We know how good this team's been at home, with 31-18 at home, and so this has been a friendly place for them to play. It feels like it's, every game is massive when you said 65 left and you're 2 back in a wild card, 7 back in the division. Every game's massive. But considering the opponent, White Sox and the Diamondbacks coming into town, considering how good the Royals have been at home, this feels like a huge 9-game start to this, not second half, but like you said, we all kind of just say it's the second half. Post All-Star break for them to position themselves in a really good spot heading into August and for the home stretch.
Yeah, this is an important stretch. 13 of the Royals' first 16 games coming out of the All-Star break are against teams that are currently below 500. The only series against an above 500 team is the Diamondbacks coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And right now they're a game above 500. So they're really kind of right on the cusp. If they lose their series this weekend, they're a 500 team coming into Kauffman Stadium on Monday. So yeah, this is a really important stretch because right after this 16 game stretch, you got the Red Sox coming to town. That's a team that you are battling actively for a wild card spot. To be clear, the division is very much in play. But focusing on the wild card for a split second, that season series is the tiebreaker. You lost 2 out of 3 at Fenway. It's imperative to win that series at Kauffman Stadium to at least have that tiebreaker as a split or go to the, whatever the next tiebreaker is, if it comes down to splitting hairs, which these wild card spots often do. As far as the division's concerned, yeah, you've got a chance. You're 7 games back of the Guardians. You do have 7 games left against the Guardians. That's coming up in August and September. I think it's 7 games in a 10-day span.
Yeah, it's right there at the end of August.
It's quite the gauntlet at the end of August and beginning of September, but you've got an absolute shot at winning the American League Central. And as far as bullpens are concerned, maybe this is going out on too much of a limb, but I know this is sports radio. I'm going to make a take.
Let's hear it.
The Guardians bullpen has been, period, the best bullpen in baseball. It has also been, in my opinion, the most used bullpen in baseball. They are leaning on all of their pitchers. Emmanuel Clase is otherworldly, but Cade Smith and Nick Sandlin and Sam Henches and Scott Barlow too, and Hunter Gaddis has been phenomenal. But like, those 5 or 6 guys have been used more than just about any arm out of the bullpen in baseball. How sustainable is that? I don't know, but maybe it's not. And if it's not, what happens? So I think that there is a chance. I think that this door, 7 games back, that's a tough hill to climb. It's not impossible, especially when you still got 7 head-to-head against the Guardians. It is there for the taking. It's not going to be easy. But I think, you know, if you were to say, hey, Jake, the Royals are going to be 7 games above 500, 2 games back of a wild card, 7 games back of the division coming out of the All-Star break. If you told me that in surprise, I think I'd say, where do I sign?
Oh, for sure. We'd be running to cash that in right away and sign that document. No question. You know how this goes, though, right? We get greedy as the season goes on.
As we should.
We get
as
a little greedy.
We should.
You know, and I hear you on the Guardians. You know, I it's not popular, but I've said I'm kind of just focused on the wild card. I would gladly be wrong. I think the Guardians, and knowing the fact there's a Twins team that's still in between, you're talking about leapfrogging 2 teams. I'm a little more thinking that the wild card is ultimately going to be the path for the Royals. But that's the question, what you alluded to with the Guardians, their bullpen or the team. Are they way out in front of their heels with what they did in the first half of the season, essentially? And is this a team that they're going to fall back a little bit? Or are they really, I mean, they're the best team in American League, right?
Yeah, best team in the American League. And it's like, we're past the point where it's a fluke. Yes, the bullpen has been awesome, but like, you've also got, I think it was 4 All-Stars in their lineup. And Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, and David Fry, who's come out of nowhere. Like, that is still something that you don't turn your nose to. The starting pitching has been suspect, and how the Guardians proceed with the starting pitching, that's going to tell a lot about what happens this final sprint. To be honest, maybe this is not the best thing to say. I'd be a little bit more worried about the Twins. I think they are a more well-rounded bunch with less obvious flaws, especially offensively, especially with the starting pitching they have, and they've got a pretty good bullpen also. That's the team that I think could make a very strong push. As far as focusing on the division or focusing on the wild card, frankly, I'm not looking at the wild card until, I don't know, mid to late August, even early September. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whether you're in a playoff spot right now or out of a playoff spot right now, the season doesn't end right now. So focus on the division until the division is no longer attainable. If you're putting yourself in position to win the division, you're putting yourself in position to contend for a wild card spot.
We got Jake Eisenberg, another couple minutes here from the Royals, joining us in the studio. Now, we mentioned you're on TV tonight. Can you do me a favor? I don't know if maybe you guys already have this in your plans. You haven't had your production meeting or anything. I'm sure you saw the announcement yesterday of this new menu item out of Kauffman Stadium, right?
Oh, not only did I see, I must have gotten like 50 texts from a bunch of different people, family, friends, that people that live here, people that don't. Ask me about this
thing. I think they need to bring the taste of the K Taco up to the booth tonight for you guys to maybe try out. We want to do this. So if, for those that don't know, there's a new menu item. It's $25. It's the taste of the K Taco. So it's a charred hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla topped with barbecue brisket, fries, romaine lettuce, pickled red onion, sriracha cracker jacks, and 816 sauce. I don't know, some barbecue sauce. I don't know what 816 sauce is. You got to try this. I want to try it. You have the means to do this. The Aramark can just bring that bad boy right up to the booth for you tonight.
I had two thoughts. Well, I had three thoughts when I first saw this. My first thought is, man, what a country.
Yeah.
We push the bounds of ballpark food regularly. What a country. The second thing is, I had never heard of sriracha cracker jacks before.
I didn't know that was a thing.
They sound great. I kind of want to try those on their own. The third thought I had is, okay, we got to try this somehow. It would make for fun radio, I think, to try it on the air and kind of go taste bud by taste bud. Maybe works a little better on TV. I'm going to have to put the onus on HUD, though, to try this. I need a gluten-free version.
Okay, fair enough.
I've got celiac, so I need the gluten-free version. If they can somehow make that happen, I'm all in. Believe me.
All right,
I'm all in.
So we need HUD to try this
but
tonight.
But HUD's got to be the designated eater, so to speak, and go after this thing. I don't even want to give him a fork and knife. I just want him to, you know,
well,
go right after
part.
It.
Well, looking at the photo, I'll turn it back around and say, you've seen it, but so you can have a fresh picture of it. God.
How do you eat that thing?
I don't know how you eat it. Maybe you're lucky you get one bite, but I feel like by the time you're biting, all the Cracker Jacks are falling off the top of the taco. And then after one bite, you're down to the fork and knife.
Yeah. Look, I think there are a lot of people that are going to try it over the course of this weekend and the rest of the season. And I have asked, please, on behalf of somebody who can't eat this unless it's modified, please try it and report back for science.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe Vern can try it. Because if Aramark had a way to bring it to the studio, then I would have just done it today during Club 610. But to go out there, Vern's already out there. It just makes a lot of sense. You know, I feel like you have the means. You know, if our show tries it, we're in $75 right there. I'll be honest. You know, we're cheap. We're in radio, Jake. So I'm not spending $25 for the thing.
Think that thing's worth $25? All the ingredients on there?
I think it's a lot of food. I definitely think it's a ton of food.
I mean, that's dinner and a half.
Yeah. I mean, if you just told me it was a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla, I'm in.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I did say that you got to consume this on a non-dollar dog night, because then you feel like you're getting even more bang for your buck. If you have the dog wrapped in the quesadilla on a dog night,
that's
you feel
point.
Like, man, I could just have a bunch of hot dogs. Tonight's a good night. When you go out to the K, open up this homestand tonight. I'll be watching on TV tonight. I expect HUD to be convinced by you to at least take a bite of this.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can make it happen. But man, I would love to know what HUD would say about this.
Jake, it's good to have you in studio, man. I know we've had you on the show and you've been on the station. You do a great job, of course, with the broadcast. And well, you'll be on the radio next week, right?
I'll be on the radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay. But we'll be watching tonight as well. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me come by. Nice to check out your digs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.